The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. We are quickly approaching the end of 2024, and if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities, so LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
You mentioned like tenants and incentivizing them to move on to other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did talk a little bit offline about undermarket rents and the challenges that come with rent control. So tell me about your thoughts on rent control.
Right off the cuff, rent control is bad. And people, some people may not like that. Some people may be cheering. Why it is bad is because the unintended consequences are it de-incentivizes people to build housing. So the government can build housing, but anything government related is not efficient and they know it. So if private builders know that there's a cap on how much revenue they can bring in, they're less incentivized to build. We hear about a housing shortage. It's like, well, what developer wants to build if they know that the government is going to constrain their ability to generate revenue? So that's why I'm not a big fan of rent control. Also, the numbers don't work out. So before the eviction moratorium, which is very troubling, but before the eviction moratorium, the rent control would only allow rents to be raised by 3 or 4%, depending on which year it was.
Mm-hmm.
But inflation was most recently, what, about 9%, something like that. So if inflation is 9%, or in other times it's 6%, and we can at prop landlords can only raise rent by 3%, then they're automatically losing 3% if inflation was 6. So they're automatically losing. And so that's another unintended consequence and another disincentive for people to build more housing. It's like, why go into business and lose money? And so politicians will put it out there, you know, hey, rent control, you know, we want to keep rents down. And so they can get votes. But then it's like, okay, but are you doing anything to build housing for these people that you want to vote for you? And they do, but it's nowhere as efficient as as a private builder could do it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. No argument for me on that. You know, I think it's important for people to think about those kind of issues, not just for like themselves as an individual, but like how it affects the economy on a on a larger scale. Yeah. You know, like no one goes into, like you said, no one goes into business to lose money.
Right.
Like
right.
You go in to make money, to make a profit. And right. So, you know, I can see why people may want to invest in cities where there's not rent control. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say someone's going to hike the rent up 20% a year. However, like having that flexibility, if you can increase it each year and there's not a constraint, or you have turnover and you can increase it to market rent mm-hmm. without an issue, it makes sense to me.
Right, right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, no, very true. Very true. And you know, something else to keep up, you mentioned about, you know, hiking it 20%. Generally, a smart landlord would not do that.
Correct.
Because the market forces would prevent them from doing that.
Right.
Everybody in the area makes a certain amount, you know, a median amount. And so they would price their rent at that median amount. And, you know, think about income, wages, everything gets some type of like cost of living increase, like pensions do, Social Security. So, you know, folks are making more money. So it shouldn't be like a major, it shouldn't be such a problem to increase the rents. And then on the flip side, or another thing to keep in mind is expenses for managing or maintaining the properties continue to go up. So, mm-hmm. you know, plumbers, electricians, materials, everything costs more. So, you know, the rents need to be able to offset that. So I'll pause there. I'm soapboxing. So
you're good. This is your soapbox, man. So you spoke to me as well about a dope arrangement I think you have with your aunt and her property. Just another example of family partnership. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So with my aunt, she's strictly passive. All she wants is her check every month and her tax deductions. And she's happy. And then she really loved, well, of course she loves her great niece and nephew. And so she's happy to have a direct impact on the wealth that's created for them. So we've had a great relationship there. And then I know eventually we're going to talk about the property management. So she's actually part of that too. I guess you want to talk about that. Yeah. Okay. So the other arm that we have, our business has two arms. It has a real estate investing component and a property management arm. So, and then that was built organically. I was managing my own property here. And then when I was working in the banking business, I had a client who knew my father, and he liked how, and the client also liked how I managed the branch. And he said, "Hey, I have this 3-unit apartment that you know, I'd like you to, you know, just manage. Basically, just you don't collect any money, but I said, I'll take care of that. But he said, field the maintenance requests and you know, get them taken care of, yeah. And make, you know, just follow through on the, so I said, okay, cool. So I started managing his property. And then when other family members and friends started hearing that we were taking on clients, they were like, oh, hey, we have this property that we need managed. And so what, as we grew, the same aunt who, unfortunately, her husband passed away due to COVID complications, she was looking for something to do, like to keep her, you know, to keep busy and to use her skills. So she has a little bit over 30 years as a legal assistant. So like she knows how to stay on top of details, knows how to draft documents, knows how to proofread, knows how to follow through. That is huge. It sounds so simple, but so many people can't figure out how to follow through. So they come up with great ideas. And they have ideation, but then that's it. So she was looking for something to do. And so my wife and I and her, we had a few conversations about it. And we said, okay, well, you know, we'll create a role for you. You'll be our chief administrative officer. So not only was she our first investor, but she's our first employee. And so we have, you know, we have legitimate payroll through ADP. We're paying payroll taxes and register with EDD. And so she gets her paycheck every 2 weeks, excuse me. 2 months, that would be a problem. she does a great job. She takes a lot of stuff off of my plate. At first, she was a little hesitant like to check me when I forgot to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, please check me. That's what I need you for. If I drop the ball on something, you know, say something. I need you to do that. And so she's been doing that. And, you know, everybody needs to feel useful. And so she is so happy to be involved with us. And, you know, she spent a lot of time dealing with lawyers. And so lawyers are good. Everybody needs lawyers. But she would be on the receiving end of some acrimony from some of the people that she's worked with in the past. And so she thought that was going to be the same thing with us. And I've told her a bunch of times, I said, like, this is not a law practice. It's all love. Everybody's going to be nice. You know, if we have to have some crucial conversations, it's still going to be nice. There's going to be no cussing, no, you know, no denigration. You know, it's going to be all love and handling business and cracking jokes. So the aunt is first investor and first employee. And you know, it's the greatest greatness to build something with your family that makes money. You can't beat that.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.